Good evening. It is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and this is the ABD Guidebook by E.J. Gold. And we're just working our way through it. It is a remarkable effort, actually, what's happening. And here's what's going on. Here's a lot of what's happening, Pat, and I think that you are a testimony to this. Okay?
Uh-oh.
You are.
Okay.
And that testimony is that this is literature that we work with. You guys can work on it together. You know, this is literature that we work on when we turn our attention to it.
Yes.
That's my point.
Yes.
And that's the purpose of this class in part.
Yes.
Is that we're taking time together to turn our attention to this material. And the invitation, put your drink down. There you go. Anyway, the invitation, it's like the material is presented as an invitation.
Right. It's an offering. It's an opportunity.
It's sitting there.
Yeah.
In potentia.
In potentia.
And then we pick it up, and what Pat comes sometimes. Pat has had some physical challenges the last couple of days, and yet she knew she was going to come tonight, and I know that her doing this together will bring her to a different place. What's that, Dan? Okay, thank you. And notice your state. That's the whole point of this, is you develop a sensing mechanism of your own being. Notice where it is right at the moment, and notice what it's going to be like in about an hour from now. Okay?
Yes.
Because it's the effort itself, as Spinoza has told us, this effort at understanding is virtue itself.
It is. It is our strongest potential aspect of beingness.
Now, last week I wasn't able to make it because I was busy on some other things, and without hesitation, it was picked up by Pat and Ivan with, you know, unbroken chain of excellence that they continued on it. So it's many of us can stand in the position if you're willing to do that, okay? So where did we get? Are we still on 18?
We are on 18.
So this is our third.
It is our third.
Third bite at the apple.
Yeah, it's our third course in a certain way. This book is very rich. It is also varied, and it also has multiple mood. So you can actually walk through a number of different doorways through this whole text and find nuggets of wisdom or encounter, let me think, what is it when you get something, cognitions. You can encounter cognitions from your own interaction and reality with this teaching because there's so many access points. That's a new phrase for me.
Good.
Access point.
Good.
Is a place in which you are able to approach. That's an access point. Doesn't mean you can go through, but an access point gives you the opportunity to encounter and engage, and also, in a certain way, to make a commitment of yourself, even if it's only to a small degree, even if it's only for the next 57 minutes, I will sit in my greatest capacity of presence and attention and commit my efforts to the benefit of all beings everywhere as I focus on this text. I kind of went everywhere.
No, that's good. That's so when we look at the planet seems to have agreed that to achieve certain things like physical prowess or things, you have to work, you know, you have to do workouts, you
mm-hmm.
work out, and you
yep.
work in the way you practice, you have to keep your skills honed.
Yep. Training.
Training, training, training.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world of spiritual practice, it's less defined. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of the times there is the theory, oh, it just happened.
Sure.
Well,
mm-hmm.
this class and every one that we've done for the last 5 or 6 years now is a activity of practice. So Pat said, here's my presence to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what that means is a suspension of the will of the machine. The machine is a wonderful tool in terms of transformation for the essential self. But if its will is dominant, then we won't be here.
No, we'll fall back.
We'll fall back. And so these efforts that are going to occur tonight, these efforts at attention and presence, are the workout.
Exactly.
This is exactly. So each time, and he doesn't say this, but there's some phraseology in some of Spinoza's early work about efforts that you make. And I used, I turned the phrase, it's a deposit in the essence bank. Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to make a deposit in the essence bank, just a little one every night, every time that we do this kind of work together. And that gets us, we take one small step forward, and that's a good thing.
Now, for folks who have logged on this evening, if you were with us here last night, I think that we ended with verse 38, which I will repeat again, because even if it wasn't the one where we ended, it is certainly the one where we will start tonight. So this is from the 18th book of the dead, called the book of Ulmuis Mutil, verse 38. Please let me not forget the real nature of reality. Do not allow me to fall into the pit of hell once more if I cannot now be liberated. At least give me a good rebirth in the higher worlds where I can learn to be myself, I who am the void.
And let's, in the context of what we were just talking about, look at 39 then,
mm-hmm.
and I'll continue.
You
Is that
please
okay?
Continue, yes.
39. And if you have been practicing the teaching during your last lifetime in the human world, and you have accumulated grace, then you will not fail. But if you have felt indifference and apathy toward the teaching during life in the human world, then you shall now see nothing but indifference and apathy all around you.
Yeah. And I would just move past the grand tour, because we get to it a little bit later in a very
okay.
expanded section.
Good.
And move to 42.
Good.
And you will not be able to hold fast your fleeting and liquid consciousness now. Your thoughts shall come faster and faster, and you shall not master them nor their significance.
43.
Yes.
And your thoughts and actions shall seem to you to be isolated and disconnected from each other. And you shall suffer from hunger and thirst. You shall be exhausted. And you shall wish release from the struggle to remain awake. And you shall search for refuge from your fears and from your exhaustion.
44. And if you do not allow your exhaustion and desperation to rule your actions, then you shall not take rebirth in a lower world. But if you become filled with fear and desperation, then you will be led into a refuge of stone or of wood, and it will seem to you as if you have found refuge within a building or between some stones. But these are not what they seem, and the forms within which you seek a refuge are in reality the wombs of rebirth in the world.
I'm going to take a little side
mm-hmm.
here. And some of the, you know, we think, oh, this is really interesting material. This is what will happen when you're in the bardos, and those, when that strange thing occurs and you're in the bardos. Well, I don't know if that's the case. I think we can review our life and see, because if you can look at this whole thing, and it says, but if you become filled with fear and desperation, then you will be led into a refuge of stone or of wood, and it will seem to you as if you have found refuge within a building. So notice when you are in fear and desperation and exhaustion, do you seek a refuge then into these safe spaces? And the answer is, usually you do. You do that. But what's the alternative? What could you do differently?
As a matter of habit, what do you have as your alternative move? Like a good chess player, you have two or three alternative moves always available.
So if we go back to the HBM, and I can't remember the chapter right now, George, but you might, where EJ draws a distinction between reaction
mm-hmm.
and response,
mm-hmm.
and that most of our emotions, in fact, are not emotions, they're just reactions. It's like a cue ball hits another pool on the pool table, and it just moves that way. That's just the mechanics of it. In the same way, most of what we call emotions are like that. So most of the time in life, when you hit fear and desperation and exhaustion, there's an automatic response which is in the form of a reaction,
mm-hmm.
and you seek refuge.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, you are creating a form of a habit.
And the look of that, how it appears to you, will not be determined by anything in the external circumstances.
Mm.
Here is my example from not too long ago. My wish was to walk into the Verizon store and be successful at completing some legal documentation that needed to be concluded on behalf of
mm-hmm.
our friend Lily. And my frustration and annoyance and incredulity at what I assumed was their ineptness or unwillingness to assist me caused me to use words such as, oh, never mind, I'll just find a lawyer. And the one young man who had been, quote, looking after me, said, oh, I can't talk to you anymore because you have used the word sue me, and therefore we can't speak to you anymore. Fortunately for me, his supervisor stepped in and was able to do the thing, which I should have been doing for myself, but here's how the guide appears when you need it. She was able to continually state what was the true fact at the moment for where they were at, until I realized what she was giving me was the opportunity to stop having the reaction and look at what was my option. Because I wasn't even hearing that there was an option.
Was this the store in Brunswick?
No, this was Roseville. I wasn't able to do it locally.
Okay.
I had to go down there. But what I realized was, one, I walked in there with my load on, and I just let it build on my own behalf, or not, until it was about to crash. And then there was a gift, which was a calm-voiced person who was not taking offense at what I was saying, but was spending a few moments in present time, and that allowed me to do the same. And therefore, I was able to accomplish the goal that I had set for myself by going in there. But it was a snafu waiting to happen because I was not able to get out of my own desperation and upsetness.
Right.
And, you know, fear and anger are so tied together. You know, I was incredibly pissed off at this situation. And there's, you know, this statement here, you will be led into a refuge. Well, the first refuge was, get out of here.
Right.
You know, run away, get out of here. And that was offered. And then it will seem as if you have found a refuge within a building, but no, that was not a refuge.
Right.
And, you know, it always looks like the way you see things. It never necessarily looks like some strange picture. It just looks the way like you see it. And the trick is to try to see it with a little tiny bit of, what is that word we like to use? Objectivity? You know, detachment?
That's the offer in this
just
particular book.
Just a tiny, tiny little bit of detachment mm-hmm. allows you to not fall into your habit.
Into the habit, the seeking refuge in that
is
way.
It?
So what if, this book is not saying you won't ever have fear and desperation.
No.
It's not saying it at all. It says when you have it,
yeah.
You, this is, if you react, this is what will occur.
Yep.
What if the trigger after fear and desperation was one of objectivity, of saying, I am in fear and desperation?
Right, state the truth.
And you state the truth yourself.
Yeah.
And then literally at that moment, you are made free.
Absolutely.
And you're free of that shackle. So how does spiritual work proceed like this. Now, why is it that Pat and myself on occasion can share these examples of how our human biological machine works so easily, and yet it's so hard for many of us to share? Pat can do it because she's not as attached to it.
Well, it's been 10 days, so yeah.
I've
gotten a little bit of upset.
But I remember when you shared about the FedEx driver that that day.
Yes, it was.
So what I'm saying is that you start to realize, I am not that.
Exactly.
I am not that. But it occurred.
Yes.
And then it just becomes an interesting point of observation for the Voyager, because As soon as you can say the words, I am not that, then you are standing in the place, the very last line there that is very interesting, the way he phrases it. No, that's not what I was looking for. The one about the I and the void.
Oh, 38, where I can learn to be myself, I who am the void. Yes,
that's what I was
looking for. That's
the phrase. That's the phrase I was looking for, is that then you are standing in that potentiality at that moment rather than being forced into the results of fear and desperation.
Yes.
And it'll take different forms for everybody. Some people will have, like myself, I tend to express anger in a certain way, and it goes outside me. You know, I go, wow. And others are just as fearful and desperate, but they're quiet about it.
Or apparently.
They're externally, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, so not only is this a manual for that theoretical voyager out there.
Yes. The one that we're reading about.
That's right.
Where it says you and I, and we have some kind of separation from that.
Maybe it means you and I, right?
Maybe so.
Should we continue?
Well, I would like to move
Go ahead.
Right over to 46.
Okay.
And according to your own beliefs about the actions of the world, which you have made while in life, you shall now seek punishment from the guide.
Wow.
I mean, it is so clear that it is not about something related to the experiences during transit. It is about your beliefs about the actions of the world that you now seek punishment. And the guide shall, parenthetically, honor your wish, appear to you as a magistrate who shall judge you and administer punishment to you. So we have immediate fulfillment of our wish. We are seeking punishment from the guide, and lo and behold, here it is.
So, I had a meeting the other day with one of our community members who I thought had made, in my opinion, she was starting to make certain headway. She was making a certain headway in a very, very difficult area. And in order to honor that, I confessed my judgment of her. And it was an interesting thing to do because basically I said, I judged you for being in this way.
Right.
And she had been in that way.
Yeah.
So I was right.
Oh, sure.
And when we got to that place, we were above this idea of the judge and the administrator and the magistrate.
Right.
We bring that according to our own belief system. Do you ever see that in your life? Do you see how you bring that onto yourself? Is there anybody, Ivan, put that in, ask that question. Yeah. Here's going. Give her the phone if you would, Dan. Or Ivan.
Yeah.
I was just saying I don't quite understand the question.
Good. Okay, let's explode the question a little bit. So in that last part there,
so the
text, go ahead and read it again.
The text says, and the guide shall appear to you as a magistrate who shall judge you and administer punishment to you.
So read the first part.
And the sentence that preceded that, which set this up, that says, and according to your own beliefs about the actions of the world which you have made while in life, you shall now seek punishment from the guide. So the request seeking punishment from the guide is immediately honored by the guide appearing as a judge. And the reason that it can be so immediately responsive is because it is based on your belief system.
Your belief, according to your belief.
Yes.
And we actually create the world around us once again.
Always.
We create the world around because of our belief system. And so you do X, Y, Z, and you go, oh, my God, I did this, and they judged me. Well, I don't know about that. If you could see what you did as an objective act, that your machine appeared in that manner, you're there too. You're just observing it with everybody else. So,
phone?
Bam.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about I forgot the phrase that you just said, but what it triggered was that, oh, God. In a chamber in the red ABD,
Yeah. There
is a part where you're expecting that punishment.
Yes, that's coming in a little bit.
That's what we're talking about, exactly.
Yeah.
You're expecting it, you set it up, and then because you set it up, of course it comes. According to your own concepts and belief. So you enter into a situation and you go, you did something. And then you react because you did it wrong. Maybe all we know is you did it.
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Okay, good.
That there is one of the chambers says, if you can remember the mechanical nature of the creation, and I don't know that it used creation, and that but that your actions are part of the mechanical nature of the life. And so if you remember that you are not that, then you have some possibility in that chamber. And is that in this chamber or is that in the next one?
It's coming up.
Okay.
Coming up
so
in the next little bit.
So you understand. So part of our job is to, when we see these are signposts.
Well, they're conceptual statements of our operational character. It's the process of the belief and how it affects our consciousness and the habits and the reactions to that, those are our operational character, you know. And we get them played out for us in the big drama. And the biggest drama, of course, is the one that's, quote, in the Bardos, as if it weren't always there all the time anyway. But the statement is more, I'm going to do 47 because I
go
think
ahead.
It'll help people
go
further. 47, and you shall feel as if the actions of the world are your own actions, which you yourself have initiated. And this will be so if you have continued to believe in yourself as a centralized ego with its own ability to initiate action in the world of matter and the ability to alter the events within the world of the creation. Now, that gives us the structure of the context of the previous verse, which is, this occurs because you have decided to yourself that you are it.
Yeah, and you have to keep going back to the beginning of 46. And according to your own beliefs.
Exactly.
And according. And then to continue with 48.
Yep.
And the guide will appear as a, to you as a threatening and terrible form.
Whoa.
And he shall inquire of you whether something is wrong. And in your fear you may tell him, without understanding his question to you, that you have done nothing wrong.
That's right. I didn't do it. 49.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And suddenly, and without warning, all those actions of the world, which you believe to be your own, and which you have come to believe were wrong actions, shall come to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall appear to you and to the guide before you.
You know, I this may not be the place and time for it, but maybe it is. EJ had us do so many different things. I mean, it's just a blessing. So we did comedy for a while, and we were asked to come up and do comedic, you know, tell a joke. If all you could do is read a joke in front of everybody else. And I got a little routine going that I did a number of times, and it ended with this particular phrase. And there was a lot of stuff before it, but then at the end, it says, and then the person is sitting there before God, and he's so blown away by the magnificent purity of God, he just starts telling all his sins. And I did this. And God is sitting there yawning because he's heard all of them before. And all God would like is just to hear one new joke. No, he'd like to hear one new joke. And because we bring, there's nothing that you have done that hasn't been done millions of times. So what this book is telling us in these last few verses that we've been reading is the context that you put it in. So let's say you do something really wrong, whatever that means. And let's say, like in the case with this particular individual that we were meeting on, I actually judged her to other people. And to people that were very important to her, I judged her. So at that moment, I was not seeing her as a voyager, as an essential being, but I saw her as the person that did that action.
Mm-hmm.
So my first response to that in fear and desperation was to feel bad. I was judging myself then.
Right.
For doing this act.
Right.
But when I confessed it in public in that way, directly to her, the space just totally opened. And then she and I were on exactly the same ground at that moment.
Right.
Because we both were not, could say, I am not that.
Right. You are unconstrained.
So how does that work in your life on a day-to-day basis? I mean, when does fear and desperation come in? All the time, every day. Your judgment of yourself, your judgment of others, it's constant. Because that's all we've been trained over the years. We've been trained. That's how you get along in the world.
Do you have something there, Ivan?
Well, you had a comment from Bernilla Plant, sin, confession, punishment, relief.
Yes.
And Molly is saying, allow judgment if that's the story. Martial arts training begins learning to learn and relearn. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. What the book is doing for us in our life today is that it's offering us signposts in our own life that if you get into the fear and desperation, note it as such
mm-hmm.
rather than as a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That make sense?
Yeah. You have the opportunity to take note without taking it and running with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's how life has been for most of humanity. You react, and you react in these ways.
Yes.
And then for a lot of people, they say, oh, you're justified to be like that.
Well, there is always justification for what the HBM chooses to do. That's why it yeah. operates that way. That's really kind of beside the point. Did you have something more there?
Well, Molly also comments, replace judgment with discernment.
That's the
Thank
point.
Thank you.
Perfectly put. Well
that's
put.
That's very clear.
And that's where Pat was heading on objectivity. It's like, so when the trigger happens of fear and desperation, make the trigger be discernment
mm-hmm.
and objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
That then allows us, oh, that's what this machine is doing.
Right.
And something remarkable happens at that time.
You get a step back.
You get a step back, and you can actually experience the concept, I am not that. And it's the machine then doing what the machine does. I am not that. And this other part of you then can stand in a different manner. And let's continue because this
mm-hmm.
we conclude
mm-hmm.
really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
In
so
this
you're
going to
50 and 51?
Okay. 50. And your fears are now to become formed before you. And the guide shall become that which you fear the most. And he shall be as the Lord of death to you now. 51. And if you recognize this punishment as the result of your own expectations, and that this is the result of your tendencies towards balancing and harmony, then you may still be liberated even now during this last stage of transit. Go ahead.
I'm going to move over to 54.
Okay.
And now you must know the reason for remaining awake through the stages of transit. And you have found that the body of thoughts and desires is immortal, but not indestructible. And you shall live through this also. And had you recognized yourself as the shining, luminous void, you would not have suffered thus.
55. And now that you have had the punishment you believe that you had deserved for your evil actions in the world of matter, there shall be within you a great emptiness, as if a heavy weight had been lifted up from you.
56. And this emptiness is not the emptiness of absence, but the never-ending endlessness, which is the awe-inspiring quality of the void. I'm going to do 57.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recognize this emptiness as your own infinite and eternal nature, in its native state, you shall cross this great desert past the place of no return, where the sentient beings who are liberated and those who take rebirth are separated forever.
And in one single instant, they are parted from each other, never to be seen again in form nor in spirit. In that single moment, either infinite freedom or the world once again. These are like formulaic in a sense, not in a dry sense, but it's in a poetic sense that we're given over and over again, that how we are in it is what creates the ground, the fertile ground of growth or not. It's our, what we bring to it. So we either are in the infinite of spirit,
mm-hmm.
or in the world once again.
Mm-hmm.
And we have choice after choice. And the choice points are now and in this lifetime.
Exactly.
Right now.
And if I may, verse 1, it is I who give the kingdom to whom I wish and take it away from whom I wish. In one whose heart has been unveiled by the subjugation of material appetites and the end of ignorance, he can know the grace of the immanent presence of God if so he wills it. To me, those two, the beginning and the end, so connected.
Yeah.
Because your opportunity is constantly in front of you, but the single instant in which the moment speaks of infinite freedom or the world once again is referred incredibly clearly in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
This is just no guessing about it. This whole book, 18th book, comes full circle, but all the places that it went, and we didn't go down every chamber and hallway. I mean, there's a lot here. We could spend a month on this. But where this book seems to me to be distinctly different and so strong in its teaching capacity is the directives, the exact directives on how to approach the circumstances that you find yourself in when you describe, you know, being
mm-hmm.
filled with fear and desperation, or being, you know, at a loss or confused. All of the exact treatments for that circumstance are listed in detail. So that's something I find remarkable in this text. It is not obscure.
So here's a
not obscure.
Here's another way to work with this. We've got to go back and find the book where it said, and you should read this over and over again
mm-hmm.
and memorize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's the end of 15, I believe.
Wherever that is,
yeah.
We should grab that once. If somebody can remember where that is and give it to me.
It's verse 55 of the 16th book, Urabasich. It's verse 55, and this book should be proclaimed to all living persons everywhere,
yeah.
that they may all be liberated from the worlds of death and rebirth. And there's like six verses of,
and
it should be read here and read here and read here.
And you
yeah.
should, it's like you should memorize.
Memorize,
it.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're just in a kind of a class together. We're here reviewing this material together. I don't know how many people are online right now, 5 or 6, I think. So 14. Molly is on there. So here's something you can do. I won't remember that.
Okay.
But take two or three verses from this particular book 18,
mm-hmm.
of which there are 58 verses,
yes.
something like that.
58 verses, yes.
Take a couple of those and write them down, print them out,
mm-hmm.
type them out, and put them in your purse or your pocket,
mm-hmm.
your shirt pocket, and bring them out during the day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like the one on fear and desperation. Bring that one out. And you say, oh, I was just in fear and desperation because I didn't get something done for my boss.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did is I went down to the snack room. Well, that sounds a little bit like hiding, taking refuge.
Yeah.
But you watch how you yourself do it. So make a card out of whichever verse you want to pick. There'll be a little bit of a series. There's usually two or three that'll go together, maybe even the last two or three. But the point is, and then you pull that out of your pocket, and you see, how is this operating for me today?
Right. Where am I in relation to this? Maybe we say we're holding it up to see where we are in relation to our what do you call that when you sail? Compass. Here's our compass. Where am I in relation to this at the moment?
What if you have an experience of fear and desperation, and you were able to take this approach to it,
mm-hmm.
and you suddenly saw, oh, I just had fear and desperation. Interesting. That's the discernment that Molly is telling us about and the objectivity that Pat is guiding us toward. Can I be objective about these things? Yeah, you can. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to this particular time? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Next time, maybe just barely.
Right, right.
But eventually maybe you can, because this is the nature of spiritual practice. It's the discipline over and over again. So we read the material, we memorize the material, we take it into the life. Spinoza says in Book 5 of the Ethics, and I think it's his proof number 2, he says, once you're in a mood of confusion,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing in it itself that can get you out of it.
Right. You can't get out of it from there.
But he says, but you can bring something in with you.
Right. Right. You can take it along.
So we can bring a little notepad.
Yes.
Note from our teacher.
Yes, exactly. And it is verse 51 from the 16th book, Urbasit 51, and so one should read this book and hold on to it, and one should perform this service for others and commit this book to memory and bear it in mind continually.
Ivan, can you put that in the log, that reference?
Verse 51.
Who?
Thank you.
So tell us.
Breeza 24th. Has written in verse 51 from book 16.
Thank you.
There was a couple of requests here, and a little earlier, in response to that ending of 18, Molly said, "Mary Poppins is the whole book. To love it is to love all the characters. Let the polarities feel peace, even if in pieces." In that single moment, either infinite freedom or the world once again.
Infinite freedom or the world once again. And you know what? There's actually no judgment in that.
No.
There's no judgment in that
conversation.
It just says, this will happen, this or that.
Yeah, that's the objective statement.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to comment that when you got to the end of that book 18, you're talking about how poetic it is. I can't help thinking of the end of the Voyage to Arcturus, where, you know, when the Maskell, you know, when he sees the ultraviolet sun, the second sun, which is like the void, you know, the voidness of the void. It's like the sun of being, that it's over. It's all over. It's like he's done. That's what, it just reminds me of that.
Yes.
He's had a big struggle to get there. But it's
there.
And he's alone. He's completely, he's shed everyone and left everything behind.
So the we are voyagers in this lifetime, and we're blessed in a sense to be, have the possibility of that recognition, not only for ourselves, but for our fellow voyagers too. And if we look at our friends, we look and we see this is a voyager of great skill that's sitting next to me, then it's like you see the person in a totally different way.
Right. Your relationship changes. The dynamic changes.
It just, it's fundamentally changed. And so know the book, spend time with the book, read the book, memorize the book.
And bear it in mind continually.
Bear it in mind continually. And the only way to do that, because we are limited individuals. We are limited. So that's okay if you know you're limited individuals, like we, I know I am, is that your memory won't contain. So you use tools to mitigate the weakness.
Exactly.
For me, you know, I look at these actors and actresses that do these, you know, on live stage
mm-hmm.
things like Kelly and Robert used to do.
Yes.
And I'm blown away because I don't think I could memorize something like that. But guess what? I can put a little reminder in my pocket, can't I?
A little reminder and also the practice of referencing it. That's the other part. It's that you take it with you and you pull it out and you look at it. And then, you know, you carry on, and then you do it again. So it's like it's a reference point that does not depend upon what your actions or activities are. It only depends upon your willingness to pull it out and look at it. Now, there was a thought I had a minute ago, which I've lost, more than likely.
But we're hammering on the same thing of practice, practice, practice.
It is the case, yes.
And I, a few years ago, I took up Bikram yoga. And this mm-hmm. is a yoga practice that they do in an enclosed room that's very hot. And I took the beginner class, but it was at a time when certain people, anybody, you know, could take the beginner class.
Mm-hmm.
And it was filled with very experienced people, mostly experienced people, quite frankly. It was just at a particular time. And you run through a particular set of exercises in all the classes, I would assume, because some are longer and shorter, hotter and not as hot. And I started, and I am very inflexible in my muscles
mm-hmm.
and my legs and stuff like that. And I put in a great deal of effort. This is where Della's daughter, Rosie, is quite an expert at this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw her in one of the classes, and she was. And I started the darn thing. I think I did it for about 6 months and then quit. And I could barely do the exercises at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher was very gentle with me and just, good effort, good try, good. Try this little adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 2 or 3 months, I remember just remarkable how I could suddenly do this particular pose.
Yeah.
Why is it that I could do it? Little incremental steps. So as we are potent voyagers, and we are voyagers that could work right now together, it when we work together, we are empowered together. But we can find ways and means, and this is the thing, finding ways and means to bring these tools into our everyday life with our everyday companions and our fellow workers. So it's a great book, and I appreciate. We're close to the end of it, and I know we're going to move on to the number 19 next time, though we may have a surprise for the next meeting, but I'll know that in a couple of days, and I'll send the email out now. But I wanted to remind us of something that I said at the very beginning of the hour.
Yes.
Do you remember what that is, anybody? The question I posed at the very It was just 1 hour ago. Ivan's remembering now. There's steam coming out of his
head. He's trying, but that's a major task.
So when we began, I said, we take this time to place our attention on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, note your state then and note your state now.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the simplicity of joy that's in the room right now. It was sluggish in a certain way when we come in, though we were together at dinner, which helped.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a certain thickness of vapors, and now there's just a lightness of will. So remember, this is what this kind of work does for you. Okay?
Once again, our opportunity of being together allows us to strengthen each other's practice.
But wait a minute, I didn't get that. Can you say it again?
The opportunity of being together allows us to strengthen
our individual work,
our efforts, because we're together. It's one of those non-phenomenal laws,
mm-hmm,
which for some reason can operate in the phenomenal world. I do not know why, but it does.
It's hint after hint after hint,
yeah,
that we get,
yeah, yeah,
of how it works and the power of group work.
Yeah.
This is group work that's occurring right now and with our friends online, our friends that are here, and those that we'll meet this evening. So thank you for coming. I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be back, and glad that...
I'm glad that we're all still here.
Yeah.
You know, or not, wherever we are.
And we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Good night.
These books.
These?
The two books that we have, the hardcover and the paperback version of the American Book of the Dead guidebook.
Oh, yeah. Molly, it's the guidebook. Can you see that? Take a minute. Is that close as well? How do we know?
So it's, one is hardback, hardcover, and the other one is paperback. Mm-hmm.
Can you see that at all?
Yes, yes. Good.
It's blurry. Okay.
Okay. Good to see you, Molly.
We'll see everyone next week.
Good night.